Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out around with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure as always. And we got some good stuff lined up for you in the half hour straight ahead because we got our good friend Doug Barry back with us. Doug is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Director of Marketing and Communications for the U.S. Commercial Services, a division of the U.S. Department of Commerce. And he's the guy who helps us understand about how to think a little bit outside of our four walls, the four walls of our building, the four walls of our neighborhood, the four walls of our market, the four walls of our country. How do we get beyond all that and think about where other customers are? You know, he often tells us that 95% of all of our prospects in the world live outside the United States. And as I say, he's our good friend, Doug Barry. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim. How are you?
It's doing great. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. And I caught the last bit of your previous guest there. How fascinating. Twitter and Facebooks, and I've actually started Twittering, Jim.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to follow each other because I'm on Twitter, too. Just go to twitter.com/Jim Blasingame, all one word, and we'll have to follow each other.
It's pretty interesting how quickly these social networks grow and how a company can use it to expand their promotion and their marketing and get new customers.
Right. No question about it. And it's an interesting world, Twitter. And I think it's one of those things, Doug, that we still haven't all figured out, like some of the social media, we still haven't completely figured out the different, where to differentiate between the personal and the business opportunity.
Right. And I'm, you know, I'm still waiting for the tens of thousands of people to come pouring in. It hasn't happened yet, but maybe it's not the volume, it's the quality.
Right, exactly.
It just takes one transaction, one person to make a transaction.
Absolutely. By the way, congratulations on the book, the new exporting book, A Basic Guide to Exporting by the Department of Commerce.
Yes, and it also has your quote on the back cover. I'm sure it's helping sales.
Of course, they're going through the roof now because of that, of course. But congratulations on that, and folks, you can find that at export.gov, right, Doug?
You can, and it's $19.95 delivered to your home or office, and it's full of useful information on how to get financing, how to write the business plans, how to find markets and buyers all over the world, the A to Z, everything you need to know.
Now, is that available in stores as well, bookstores? Is
it going to be out there? You can go to your local box store and certainly order it, and it'll come in a couple days.
Okay. All right. So check that out, folks. What's the news in global trade? Well, for one thing, not to get into politics, but you guys are having a little trouble getting a leader on board over there, aren't you?
Oh, a Secretary of Commerce.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of bites at the apple. Hasn't worked out, but we hope that someone will be nominated soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because this is a very important position. I'll be honest with you, I was a little disappointed that Richardson didn't make it because I think he would have done a good job.
I think it would be excellent. He certainly had the international background that would have been very helpful.
Exactly. No, I think so too. We look forward to hearing about that. What's on your agenda today? What's the most important thing that you think that we need to be talking about today with regard to global trade?
Well, Jim, I wanted to share with your listeners news about the China economic stimulus package. We have our own, of course, that was just passed by Congress last week for something over $700 billion in change. But the Chinese are going to do us one better. And they're ready to launch a $1 trillion economic stimulus package.
Wow.
And we very much know that some of that money, a big chunk of that money, is going to go to foreign businesses who have the technology and the materials that the Chinese need to build schools, hospitals, roads, railway, and other things to make their economy start humming again.
So you think some of that could find its way over here?
Absolutely. Yes, a big chunk of it, I think, will. And, of course, it depends on U.S. companies and their interest in putting their toes in the water over there.
Right, right.
And we can help them.
And some of that could go to small businesses, couldn't it?
Yes, it can. And
no reason why it couldn't.
No reason at all. And I think there are two ways of doing this if you're a small enterprise.
Hold on to those two ways, Doug, because I want to get those fresh after the break. We're going to take a break here in a couple of seconds, folks, and be right back with our good friend Doug Barry and get those two ways he wanted to talk about. But also, I'm going to ask him about, in this next segment, I'm going to ask him about what it seems to me is an increased potential for global protectionism, at least on some levels. I'm concerned about it. Queen Tail, stay with us. Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen, the late great Dan Fogelberg from the Innocent Age album. Welcome back to 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. You can find my blog there, jimsblog.biz. You can find my knowledge base, askjim.biz. You can find all of the interviews that we've done in the last several years, many years, thousands of archives of interviews from very smart people like our good friend Doug Barry. This is a body of work, folks, that these individuals have deposited with us over the years that a lot of the information they gave us is timeless. You can go back and learn from them, and I encourage you to do that. If you've got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, we got information. We have something there that will help you with your small business. Doug and I are talking. By the way, Doug is Director of Marketing and Communications for the U.S. Commercial Service Division of the Department of Commerce. Doug Barry is also the guy behind their outstanding book, The Basic Guide to Exporting, which you can find at export.gov and at your bookstores. Doug, you were going to tell us about the two things that you think that small businesses should pay attention to with regard to, trying to get some business out of China?
Exactly, Jim. And, of course, the first thing is the surveillance of the economic environment. And as our good friend Willie Sutton, the bank robber, once said when asked, why did you rob those banks? And he said, because that's where the money is. And so you have to ask yourself, where is the money these days? And one answer, of course, is China. That has fabulous currency reserves that we in the United States and the rest of the world have been asking them to spend.
Right.
Preferably on building up their own economy and supporting their own middle class. And the way to do that, of course, is to buy more goods and services from the rest of the world, which they have certainly started doing, but everyone feels that there's a lot more that they can and should do, and indeed are pledging to do. So you've got the trillion, and certainly a big chunk of that money will go to foreign businesses that have the technology and the products and services they need, and many of those will be in the United States, particularly in the environmental area, but also IT and medical devices.
Medical,
were,
yep.
were very
entertainment.
Entertainment. And, of course, high-end construction. Mm-hmm. So the first way is to look and see where the money starts to flow and to what large U.S. companies, which certainly will get a share of the business. And once that information becomes available, and we'll know about it through our network of offices in China, we have five of them, and they're staffed by U.S. Foreign Service officers and local Chinese staff, who are very knowledgeable about both the region, the business customs, and the various sectors that will be in highest demand there. And we'll be able to tell you which contracts are being let to what large concerns, and then we can help put you in touch with those large U.S. companies that will be leading the way into the country, and then you would be in a position to sell to them. For example, a lot of schools were destroyed by that big earthquake in
right.
Southwest China. All of that will have to be rebuilt again. The $1 trillion in part will be used to do that, and U.S. companies will be involved in the building, in the establishing new building codes so they don't get smashed flat again. And then you'll need desks and chalkboards and computers and all kinds of other things that we'll be able to provide. And it's those things that you're talking about, small businesses who specialize in those things, piggybacking on the larger U.S. companies that will get those initial building contracts. So that's
so one. Doug, and that's a good, that's a really good point that you make there. And I want to make sure that we get that, that I understand what you're saying. If I've got a small business, you know, if I contact one of your commercial services divisions, departments, I should say, offices, which are 100 and plus or so around the country,
correct.
If I contact the one nearest me and I say, what are my opportunities in China? They might not say to me, okay, I'm going to put you in touch with this Chinese company. They might say, well, there's a company near you that's a lot bigger than you, maybe not a huge multinational, maybe just a larger company, maybe by four or five times as big as you, that's doing business over here, and they may need some of your services. So they'll do that, right? They'll connect us so we become sort of a subcontractor to
that's
those
right.
people.
But in subcontracting, you're also going to learn about how to do business in another country. You're not
right.
just going to be passive and packing up the stuff and sending it across the country where it will then be shipped to China, but you're going to learn how to do business in that new environment.
Well, you've got to be able to add value to the process of your first customer, which is a U.S. company.
True. Yeah. On the other hand, and this is the second opportunity there, there will be lots of chances for small companies to sell directly into the China market, and you'll be able to do that in a similar way that you did the first, and that
right.
is to establish contacts with, as you say, Jim, the local export assistance centers, more than 100 across the country, or go directly to our folks in China who will be in very close contact with local government authorities there who will be the ones who will be shoveling out the money.
Folks, if you don't have enough business in the U.S., you know, I've been talking about this with you guys for a long time. Doug's been right here with us talking about getting educated, starting the education process to find out what it takes to do business in somewhere else outside of the country. And export.gov is a good place to start, by the way. Tintail, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Doug Barry, one of the world's experts on small business exporting, doing business overseas by small businesses. He and his teams of experts in the U.S. Commercial Service Division of the Department of Commerce are standing by ready to help you. 120 departments, offices around the country now, Doug?
We have 108, Jim, and 150 around the world.
Yeah. And folks, you really ought to check this group out. And as I've encouraged you to do now for how many years now? 11 plus years.
Yes.
Get educated on what it takes to do business overseas, and you can start the process by going to export.gov. Doug, one of the things that I'm concerned about, and I just got to bring it up, and that's in the new stimulus bill, there is a Buy America clause. That anything that, and I haven't read it, but I've seen reports on it, anything that, any contracts that are filled with TARP, with stimulus money, I should say, that money has to go towards buying U.S. products, not foreign products. Well, you and I both know that so many products are integrated these days. Now, steel may not be, when that's one of the big issues, but they're integrated with products, pieces of components from all over the world. We're in a global economy. Doug, in my opinion, the one thing that could actually cause us to go into something like a Great Depression would be global protectionism, and that's what I'm worried about right now.
Well, certainly your worries are well founded, Jim. And I make my living promoting trade.
Yep.
So I'm not going to sit here and say I'm now promoting protectionism. I think
yep.
that free and fair trade has been an immeasurable importance to the United States in growing our own economy. We're one of the probably we're the largest exporter, the largest importer. And to throw the brakes on that now, I think, would be a very serious problem.
What,
and so I hope it doesn't happen.
And, well, George Bush did this the first year of he was in office. He put up some tariffs on U.S. steel, and he helped 150,000 steel manufacturing jobs, but he hurt 2 million steel working jobs.
Yes, a lot of very good jobs these days in the United States depend on trade. More will depend on trade in the future, especially when we get out of this worldwide recession that we're in now. And we have to remember that I think we have far more to gain by keeping the trade regime open and free than we do starting to slap huge tariffs on things in an effort to keep the Buy America in force here. So I hope that we continue to be liberal in our trading practices and don't revert to protectionism.
Well, I do too, and hopefully, you know, steel is such a predominant, dramatic example. It gets the headlines a lot, but you know, while we're protecting, if we protect the steel industry, and if that's successful, well, then maybe another company protects their country, not against steel, because they may need our steel, but they might make Caterpillars. They might make dirt moving equipment, and our Caterpillar machines can't be sold in those countries.
Right, and we have now 14 free trade agreements with countries around the world, and this means that that the buyers in those 14 countries, those governments, do not place tariffs. Basically,
right.
Our goods enter tariff-free,
mm-hmm.
And it's true the other in the reverse. We do not charge tariffs on those countries. And if you look at what's happened since the agreements went into effect, the trade between us and those 14 countries has risen considerably,
yep.
And more jobs have been created in the United States as a result of that. So hopefully we'll see more of those kinds of arrangements than we will the reverse.
And the good news is those agreements are not the Buy America includes the products from those countries.
I don't know.
It's my understanding.
Sure.
For example, products from Canada that come in, and I guess Europe, England, maybe I've forgotten. But I saw something the other day that said that if we have a trade agreement, they're exempted from the Buy America thing.
Ah, okay.
So that's good news. We just need more trade agreements, Doug. Get busy up there. What are you doing?
Well, of course, it's President's Day, so I'm
sitting
on my couch in my living room talking
to you. Oh, yeah. Well, you know where I am. I'm at work like I am every day. Hey, Doug, I got to wrap it up. Export.gov, right?
1-800-USA-TRADE. Call us tomorrow. We're closed today.
800-USA-TRADE. The book is called The Basic Guide to Exporting, which I encourage you to get. Thanks, Doug. Good to talk to you. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back one more hour after this one.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.